Welcome to the Authority of Love. My name is Greg Williams, and thanks for joining us on today's broadcast. I hope that yesterday's episode gave you reason to pause as to where you are in your life with Christ. Are you following much of today's milquetoast versions of Christianity and Bible teaching rooted in a cheap grace or cheap salvation? Or are you selling out daily, giving up your life for Christ's life in and through you and for the life of others? The latter is the calling of Christ and God's Word, so don't be deceived into the soft sell messages that claim salvation with no evidence of a changed, sold-out life. God doesn't require or demand it, but He makes it very clear that it's the only way you can have the abundant, free life in Christ, that He gave His life so that you could have that. Now, if you missed yesterday or any previous messages, you can find them all at loveandlordship.com. Love, A-N-D, love and lordship, all spelled out and together. Loveandlordship.com. You'll find them there. When you get on that homepage, there is a read tab with articles. They've got a lot of other articles, but there is a listen tab for podcasts and a watch tab for videos. You can also go down to the Vimeo icon, the V at the bottom, or the Podbean on the bottom of the page and find these as well very quickly. Love to know what you think about them. Share them with others. Hopefully it'll help you and them in their walk with the Lord, whether that's in their personal walk or in relationships, whatever that may be. That's our prayer, that you go deeper and deeper in your walk with Christ, not only as Savior, but as Lord. Love to hear what you think. You can contact me at loveandlordship@gmail.com. That's loveandlordship@gmail.com. And I appreciate your responses, your encouragement, even your disagreements. So thank you for that. As I mentioned at the close of yesterday's message, we're going to move into what that sold out, dying to self, to give our life for Christ and others, that kind of life looks like according to God's Word. Sorry, but it's not just showing up at church, giving some money and time. It does include those things, but according to God's Word and even Jesus Himself, it requires so much more. Jesus Himself, as I said, made it very clear, as we've talked about many times on this program and in our book, The Authority of Love, Second Edition. Our faith must be much more than just lip service, funds donated, and time served. It must be an intentional life surrendered and sold out to Him, and we can't do that on our own. Now, flesh will only do that for a while, and then it's going to give in to my selfish desires. I have to die to that and live with Christ, the Holy Spirit in me. That's why He came to save us. And then He modeled and taught us what that kind of life consists of, what it looks like. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. And it looks quite differently than much of today's so-called Christianity. If we're going to truly let the world know who He is and what He's done for them, then it has to be evident in our lives according to His standard, not ours. Now, today's title sums up a life that is a service of passionate devotion. If you're following along in the devotional booklet or at myutmost.org, you'll find that on June the 19th. So, having said that, in that title, Service of Passionate Devotion, what is He talking about? What is it that He's talking about that we give of ourselves? Well, again, I'm glad you asked, and we're going to get right at it, but it has everything to do with what I've just been sharing, in that it's not just simply I show up, I give a little bit of my time, my money, and I feel good about myself and what I've done. That's not, you may be passionate about that, but that's not a service of passionate devotion for Jesus Christ. You see, we have to be willing to surrender ourselves and not even think of ourselves. Isn't it interesting that yesterday's message, if you go back and listen to that or watch it, you'll find that it was a part of Peter's life and an interchange that Peter had with Jesus in saying, Lord, I'll die for you. I'll give up my life for you. And of course, we didn't talk about it yesterday, but Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He knew that what He had come to do, that Peter, if he interfered with that, if he even would do it, would not be God's will. So it wasn't what God wanted, and Jesus was willing and able to answer him and say, no, no, Peter, you don't understand what you're talking about. Matter of fact, it's Satan in and through you that's trying to interfere with God's will here. But Peter, in his flesh, had made a heroic statement. And as we said yesterday, each of us should be willing and able to make that kind of statement for Christ and because of Christ and his death on the cross, not only for us, but for all who believe, for all others. We should do that. We should give in that way, you see. So with that said, Chambers' text for this message gets right at the heart of the sacrifice that is required in following Christ. And again, it flows from an example of Peter's life. And this is after, you know, remember, he said, I'll give my life for you. And Jesus said, before the rooster even crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. That's where you really are, but you're going to get there, Peter. And we're going to pick that up today and find out from our text and this service of passionate devotion what it looks like. In John 21:16, Jesus asked Peter, as remember, Peter has been fishing. He said, guys, I don't know about you, but Christ is gone and I'm going to go fish. That's what we've known how to do. That's what I'm going to go back and do. Remember when he called him out the first time, he says, you leave those nets and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, now Jesus is gone and they're not quite so sure. So Peter and the others go back to fishing. When John looks up, I believe it was, and saw someone speaking to them on the shore, John says, it's the master, it's the Lord. Peter, as he's prone to do, passionately jumps out and rushes into shore before the boat can ever get there. And Jesus begins the restoration process there in John 21. And in verse 16, he says, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Isn't it interesting how yesterday's message included an encounter with Peter making that heroic statement that we should all be able to make, as I mentioned earlier? What we need to learn is that in order to back up that statement, it takes much more than our flesh is willing to give. Remember, I've said it before, that's what the Old Testament and the law is all about. God, the perfect lawgiver, is going to give us the perfect gift and say, if you can keep this perfectly, you don't need a savior. Found out we can't, right? And that was the purpose of it, so that we would recognize we need a savior. And Christ came to do that. We can only do this in Christ and by his spirit as he saves us so that we live for him. Today's message, in a very real sense, revisits Peter's bravado, but now it's only after he's fallen and failed miserably. The beauty is that Christ knows Peter and us better than we know ourselves. And he graciously uses even our failures and shortcomings, just as he did with Peter, to gently teach and draw us back to a much better understanding of his love, his truth, his will, and how they are to be lived out for his purposes and glory. That's exactly what he does with Peter in restoring him, and he does the same with us if we're willing to listen, study, and respond accordingly. Chambers gets it right, and he gets right to the heart of why so many of us are lacking in today's churches with our watered-down teachings. Listen to this. Jesus did not say, make converts to your way of thinking, but look after my sheep. See that they get nourished in the knowledge of me. We count as service what we do in the way of Christian work. Jesus Christ calls service what we are to him, not what we do for him. Whew. Remember, think about where this comes from. Abiding in him, John 15, the branches in the vine, and the cost of discipleship in Luke 14, 25 through 35. He's talking about what we think about him and where we place him in the priorities and how we stay abiding and enduring and remaining in him. Not what more can I do for you and how can I produce something? He's the one that produces it. He's the one that makes it happen. We're just the branches, the instrument, the vessels, the disciples. These are the things, branch and vine, and the cost of discipleship. These are what he says we are supposed to do and to be in order to be aligned with him and walk as his disciples. Chambers goes on to say, discipleship is based on devotion to Jesus Christ, not an adherence to a belief or a creed. They can help us in our walk. And I could add, the programs and campaigns may help us, but it's natural for us in our flesh to get caught up in those things and forget about the relationship and spend the time on that. And this is in direct reference to that Luke 14. Chambers quotes, if any man come to me and does not hate, he cannot be my disciple. And remember, we've talked about this before. It doesn't mean actually hate. It means it compared to where he is in our relationship with him. That has to be first, so far above everything else, or we're not going to get it. There is no argument and no compulsion by Jesus, but simply, if you would be my disciple, you must be devoted to me. A man touched by the Spirit of God suddenly says, now I see who Jesus is, and that is the source of devotion. Jesus. Today we have substituted creedal belief for personal belief. And I'm adding here, what we think it should look like as we devise programs to draw folks into our churches or our way of thinking. And then that's what we get caught up in. And Chambers says that is why so many are devoted to causes, programs, capital campaigns, serving, giving. All good things, but they often take priority over our relationship with Jesus. And therefore, so few are devoted to Jesus Christ himself. People do not want to be devoted to Jesus, but only to the cause he started. Jesus Christ is a source of deep offense to the educated mind of today that does not want him in any other way than as a comrade. Help me get this done. Help me look good. Our Lord's first obedience was to the will of his Father, not to the needs of men. Whatever you do, don't miss that statement, as it is the downfall of most of today's churches and missions. We've prioritized the needs of others above God and his will and a relationship with him. The saving of men was the natural outcome of Christ's obedience to the Father. And if I am devoted to the cause of humanity only, or first, as was stated, prioritizing, I will soon be exhausted and come to the place where my love will falter. But if I love Jesus Christ personally and passionately, I can serve humanity though men treat me as a doormat. The secret of disciples' life is devotion to Jesus Christ, and the characteristic of the life is its unobtrusiveness. It's not easily or readily noticed. It is like a corn of wheat or a kernel of wheat which falls into the ground and dies. Remember yesterday's message, laying down our lives for his and for others. But presently, it will spring up and alter the whole landscape. Check out John 12:24. Food for thought. We must be brutally honest with ourselves, not just about our sin and need for a Savior, although it has to start there. We need to be totally candid about what motivates us in our life for Christ and his bride. Is it our love for him or the amount of activity and seemingly how effective and impressive that is? One of the best ways to determine this is by how we speak of our lives and our service and or how we respond when we are barely noticed or not at all. What are we pointing to? Christ or what we've done for him? Love and action, spend time with God in his word, prayer, and listening every day. Number two, ask Holy Spirit to teach you. Number three, what is your service rooted in? How much is accomplished and what it looks like, or simply out of love for him? And number four, test your motives and allow him to guide you every step of the way. I'm Greg Williams, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.